Hey everybody, welcome to Voices from the Frontlines. This is your host today, Eric Mann. Lost in Space at the Labor Community Strategy Center. I teach improvisation and we're going to see how we do today. We're hoping to have on today our guest, Amiri Baraka, the last poet laureate of the state of New Jersey and the author of numerous books, essays, and poems. He's in town, or going to be in town this week, to publicize his new book of short stories, Tales of the Out and the Gone, short stories by Amiri Baraka. And we're going to take a musical break and come back, and we're going to see what happens. Thanks. Okay, that was Thelonious Monk. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines. Well, folks, we're going to have an exercise in tactical improvisation. We cannot yet, as of yet, reach Amiri Baraka. We've talked to his publicist. This has been set up. It's a work in progress. So at the Labor Community Strategy Center, I teach organizing, and I teach people to think on their feet, which is easier to say than to do. So I'm going to try to do a little of my own and bring you in on the situation. If we can find Amiri and carry out the interview, I know what to do. If we don't, I'm going to talk a little bit on the show that I just about the present situation in Iraq and Iran and what's happening in the country based on an excellent interview that preceded this show that you don't have to know about with Daniel Ellsberg on trying at his part to make analogies from how we ended the war in Vietnam or how the anti-war movement ended it to how we in the United States can try to end this frighteningly escalating war in Iraq. So I'm going to do a brief commentary on that. And the number here is 818-985-5735. If we don't hear from Amiri Baraka in about 10 minutes, I'll riff a little bit more, and then we're going to go to the phones and talk about pretty much whatever you want in preceding the fund drive. We can talk about the war in Iraq and the war in Iran, Mayor Villaraigosa's plan to crush gangs and, in our opinion, crush civil liberties and crush the Black and Latino community. And that's my view of if we don't stop that. And so let's start with our theories of social change with the war in Iraq and the war in Iran. Daniel Ellsberg, who many of you know, was, along with, I believe, Tony Russo and several other people who worked at the Pentagon, leaked the so-called Pentagon Papers, which were essentially the secret plans of the United States and how it was running the war in Vietnam and many of the behind-the-scenes machinations of the Pentagon. But after an amazing hour in which he discusses and analyzes the story of his own trial, the story of the United States Congress trying to cut off funds for the war, he ends by saying, essentially, that the only thing that ended the war in Vietnam on the U.S. side was a total crisis of government leading to the impeachment of Richard Nixon and a series of crises I won't go into. What's very frightening about that is that when I was involved in the first sit-in against the war in Vietnam in 1965, the first thing that we came up against was a horrible feeling already, which is that this country is very sick. The society is very sick. The Democratic Party is very sick, in the sense of terminally ill. You have to understand that back in the so-called 60s, which many of you have shared with me, and many of you were not even born then, we on the New Left cut our teeth with a direct criticism of and hatred of the Democratic Party. For us, the Democratic Party, when we went down south and we organized against segregation, all the states that we were in, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Georgia, were Democratic states. They were run by the so-called Dixiecrats. So when we were trying to pressure the Kennedy administration and later the Johnson administration, what we came to understand is we weren't saying to the Johnson administration, stop those Republicans in the South from lynching people, killing civil rights workers. We were saying, stop the Democratic Party from violating our civil rights. And it was Johnson who understood Well, if I stop the Democratic Party from violating your civil rights in the South, the Democratic Party is going to go, the South is going to go Republican. And the Democratic Party is going to go down the toilet in the South. So how can I say that Johnson was simultaneously courageous and a war criminal in Vietnam, which we'll get to, and within his very limited sphere, actually heroic in taking on the white Southern aristocracy that he was part of. The war in Vietnam is, and when you listen to the story of Daniel Ellsberg, what he's saying, which is really scary, is that he broke the Pentagon Papers in 1969 and 1971, that the war just kept going on and on and on, and it didn't end until 1975. The Paris peace talks, I believe, say, were 1974. So here was a worldwide movement against the war in Vietnam. We were building amazing movements on the campuses, demonstrations of 100,000 and 200,000 and 400,000 and 500,000, demonstrations in New York taking over the buildings. But here is the problem. The country in which we live is not a country. It's an empire. It's called U.S. imperialism. I think you know that, or many of you do. The government does not care. And the illusion that we have that there's a democratic process is maybe the greatest illusion that's going to prevent us from even the political consciousness of figuring out what to do. So in a constructive critique of Daniel Ellsberg, he says in a speech that apparently is just given recently, we have to understand correctly, he says, that the Democratic Party doesn't want to end the war in Iraq. It just wants to make a feint against the war in Iraq, hope that it escalates, hope that it becomes just absolutely horrible. And then, as they always do, you know, or as they hoped, as they did in 2006, back into an election in 2008. Obama, Hillary, Edwards are going to say, we need a new direction in Iraq, a new something in Iraq. But the reality is, at 818-985-5735, which you can start calling in about 5 minutes, the reality is the Democratic Party has no desire to get out of Iraq. Because as Ellsberg pointed out, they will be called a traitor. They will be called whatever they want to call it. But more importantly, here's the first illusion. The illusion is the Democratic Party wants to get out of Iraq, but it doesn't have the guts. The reality is the Democratic Party, unfortunately, is an imperialist party that is part of the war in Iraq. They keep saying weird things like, I voted for the war, but I didn't know what I was doing. I voted for the war. You voted for the war. You voted for the Homeland Security Act. You voted for the Patriot Act. You voted to violate our civil liberties. So how can you keep saying you voted for it and then you have certain questions about it? So at the end, Ellsberg says, we have to tell our Congress people that if they don't see the light, they'll feel the heat. Well, unfortunately, it's a tremendous illusion. We are not strong enough. He says, if they don't see the light on Iraq, we're going to vote them out. The reality is we're not strong enough to vote them out. The reality is we don't have a third party to punish them. The reality is we don't have a caucus within the Democratic Party to kick them out. He talks about, it's not just him. I mean, it's just everybody talks about, well, we have to run different candidates. Folks, we just ran different candidates. Do you not understand that the we, being the Democratic Party, not me, ran candidates to the right of moderates in order to win in Montana, in order to win by 3,000 votes in one state? They ran, many of them, against abortion. They ran conservative to moderate or conservative to reactionary candidates in order to get elected. At another point, I'll tell you what to do, but I don't know what to do. I'm really deeply trying to think about, is the first thing we can do as a step towards liberation to get rid of our democratic illusions with a D and with an I, capital D, capital I. I just don't want to hear one more time that this war is a violation of our constitutional traditions. This country has no constitutional traditions. The country was built on slavery. It was built on the violation of civil rights. It was built on the stealing of northern Mexico. It was built on the genocide against the indigenous people. That is the constitutional tradition. So please, I do actually know what to do at another show, but we'll start with, don't talk about how this is unconstitutional, how we have to reelect Democrats, how we have to reform the Democratic Party. The first step in knowing what to do is admitting that you don't know what to do. And the first step is to break the drug of the Democratic Party and the drug of the illusions that this is a democratic country. I feel right now that on a world level, at minimum, these are the yellow stars on the Jews that is happening now inside the United States. I don't know to call it pre-fascist, neo-fascist, but the growing police state against us, the fact that many people wake up in the morning, go to work, have some vague understanding that the war in Iraq is wrong, but don't understand that this country is moving towards a police state and that it is a police state worldwide. The frightening idea that perhaps Israel is going to be the stalking horse for an invasion of Iran. If not, the United States will directly attack it right now, is the kind of stuff that's very, very scary. I have thoughts on where the left should go, but I think the first thing we have to say is, do we understand this country is a worldwide fascist country? It is carrying out an imperialist policy that is reflected in a fascist treatment of people all over the world. It now has 2.2 million people in prison. I'm normally hopeful. I'm trying to acknowledge that I'm scared. So we're going to go to 818-985-5735. We're going to get your opinions on the following subjects. Do you think that the Democratic Party is part of the problem, not part of the solution? If you have ideas on what to do about the war in Iraq, if you're active in any of the anti-war groups, please tell us what to do. Tell us your suggestions on what to do. If you are, and one more thing, 818-985-5735, I'm going to keep it there. Here's my point about Mayor Villaraigosa. You have to see the analogy that Antonio Villaraigosa meeting with Antonio Gonzalez, the Attorney General of the United States, is getting money from the federal government to suppress gangs in Los Angeles with a gang scare, crime scare, war on drugs, war on crime, war in Iraq, war on terror. If you don't understand that this is consistently part of a view that the government is at war with everybody, including us, and that we do not want a war on gangs, we want jobs, we want health care, we want an end to the war in Iraq, we want an end to the police state at home, we want an end to torture, we want an end to the violation of people's civil liberties. I think Mayor Villaraigosa is running far to the right. I think he is positioning himself to be the governor. I think he's positioning himself to be a conservative, not even a, you know, he says a practical progressive. I think he's gone beyond moderate to becoming a conservative. I think he's triangulating us like Bill Clinton did, like Tom Bradley did, and now Antonio Villaraigosa did. It's part of the dilemma that the Democratic Party is part of the problem, not part of the solution. Okay, it looks like folks want to talk about that, so thanks. We're still waiting for Miri Baraka, but we may be waiting till another time. I'll give out his information about speaking at the end of the show. Hey, Joe in San Pedro, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good.
Decided to call in.
Great, Joe.
I was calling to your show. Yeah, I was thinking about just trying to put everything together that you were saying, and I think that the one thing that hit me as I was thinking about it is whether you're talking about this little so-called war on gangs, which, from what I've seen, it's a war on the homeless and the poor.
That's right.
First, they make you poor, and then they make it a crime for you to be poor. You know, but I think what it is that they've just really perfected this art of fooling people. And I remember thinking about maybe a few years ago, just before Katrina, actually, how bad it looked. I mean, my God, there was no movement. There was very little people really doing anything against the war. And then all of a sudden, all over the news is, you know, you see these faces of American citizens who are pretty much looking like people in Iraq, you know, might look.
Yep.
After being bombed or something. And I think it really, I saw a lot of reporters who didn't really know, looked like they knew what they were doing. They were just covering it, you know, some of them crying and all this. And I remember just after that, if you'll notice, that's when Bush's numbers started to go down. And then when these, you know, these little videos that have come out about about 9/11, you'd be shocked how many people have seen these things, you know, like Loose Change and Hoboken. I mean, a lot of people have seen these. There's a whole underground thing of people just watching these on the Internet and passing them around, copying them and sending them around. Yeah.
Joe, let me just ask you one thing, because we have a lot of calls. You sound great.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great. Just get to – here's two questions I want to ask you. Were you now or have you ever been a Democrat?
I'm saying again now.
Have you now or have you ever been a member of the Democratic Party?
I currently vote Democratic, but I don't consider myself a Democrat.
Okay, me too.
I'm just trying to vote for the best person out
right.
there.
Let me. So here's my question. If Antonio Villaraigosa and Rocky Delgadillo are going to crack down on gangs, and if we had a campaign for a vote of no confidence in the mayor on those issues, would you help us oppose the mayor on those issues?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I oppose the mayor right now. I don't need you. I oppose him right now.
All right, Joe. Thank you for calling. We have a lot of people on the line. See who we got. Let's see, women. John Marie, on Los Angeles. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We have a lot of callers, by the way, which is really cool. So happy to hear from you.
I'll be brief.
No, that's okay.
I'm with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Great.
And we, of course, have never been excited about any wars of the 20th century, now the 21st century, but it always comes down to the budget. And the Democrats absolutely are the problem every bit as much as the Republicans. With very few exceptions, you know, Dennis Kucinich wanted to cut off funding. Very few exceptions. Do they have the courage to say we need to cut the budget? The Pentagon budget is the reason that we have the poverty in this country, the reason we have no health care, the reason that we have no education.
Let me ask you this, and this is why I'm raising this. Who do you think is the most vulnerable Democrat? In other words, I think that we need to go after Antonio Villaraigosa on the issues, Nancy Pelosi on the issues. Who are the Democrats that you have tried to influence? Who do you think is the most dangerous Democrat to the work that you're trying to do?
Oh, that's hard to answer in terms of one person.
You mention a few.
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi is an extremely dangerous Democrat because she's the Speaker and she's got so much power, and she's such a hawk. You know, as much as trying to come across like, you know, she wants to bring the troops home or whatever, that she wants to support the troops, you know, that's just BS. We want to support the troops. We need to bring them home. And if we want to help the people of Iraq, we need to shift. We need to put down the guns and pick up some humanitarian aid and lend some aid to that country and build it back up.
Sounds great. Let me ask you one other question relating the war in Iraq to the war on the gangs and the war on drugs at home. Would you support a movement to oppose the mayor who's attacking low-income, you know, that's a loaded question, so I'm not going to act like a pollster. Would you support a movement to stop Mayor Villaraigosa's plans to crack down with federal money and LAPD troops on so-called gang members in Los Angeles?
Wholeheartedly. Give us a call to the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and we'll be with you every step of the way.
Thank you so much, Jean Marie. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, listen, this is great, folks. Christine in Silver Lake, how you doing? Everybody else, hang on. We got about 6 or 7 callers on the board, which is great. We're going to get everybody's being very good. We'll move it through, and we'll get to everybody.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Of all the many menus we gave you, where do you want to jump in?
I don't vote Democrat. I vote Green. And I'm wondering, in terms of a certain local Congress people, like we had Adam Schiff against Bill Paparian, who was a completely viable candidate. People are so pissed off with the Democrats. Why don't they make the leap to a third party if they're so disenfranchised and upset?
I think that's a really good question. And I have, as one who has argued, for instance, to vote for Kerry in 2004, let me speak as somebody who straddles that fence. I often vote Green. In 2004, I felt that I felt that the danger of a Bush-initiated fascism was so great And I had, as they say, carried without illusions, could not stand this man. In my book, The 2004 Elections, A Turning Point for the U.S. Left, I just spent one whole chapter on carried without illusions. I think we're caught in a dilemma, which is, I think the Green Party, at times, is perceived, I'm not saying it's right, to be perceived to be very white. It's perceived to be isolated from a lot of social movements, so it shows up at election time. It's not down with the Bus Riders Union when we're trying to fight against transit racism at the MTA. It's not on the picket lines, you know, in a clear way that we can understand. But it runs from, what was the guy, I should know this, who ran for president on the Green ticket in 2004?
He wasn't a very huge, oh God, I just...
Well, you see, that's what we just answered the question. He's a very, I know him well, and okay, it's not a great thing if we don't remember the name of the Green Party guy, and he was a very good political person. So I think my point is I don't know. How's that for a point? I think we need third party electoral activity, and I think the Greens do a good job. And why don't we put on the agenda for a longer conversation why there's a dilemma of building a third party in the United States, except to say that I do support such an effort, okay? Let me ask you this again, and I mean this seriously. If we're trying to build a movement against the war in Iraq and against the gangs, against the suppression of so-called gangs in L.A., do you see the connection? Are you willing to take on Mayor Villaraigosa if that became the issue?
We already are. L.A. Greens are there all the way. We've been arrested with Lane, and we are on the picket lines, actually. So we're very active local.
Okay, we'll be in touch. And I think we are all obligated, if there are people like Women's International League and Peace and Freedom, if there are people on the phone from Answer, if there are people who want to call in from United for Peace and Justice, we'd love to hear from you as well. Thanks so much for calling. Wow, we got a lot of calls here. Okay, random and hang in there. Bob from Van Nuys, Carlos from Carson, and Jack. No, I got Jack from San Pedro. G.S. from Burbank, in that order, if you can catch the phone. So who do we got now? Bob from Van Nuys.
Hey, you're saying everything exactly right. It is so corrupt, it's just unbelievable. I'm ex-Air Force, went through Vietnam, mechanical prototype design engineer. I have the answer, but you're right. The Villaraigosa is everyone that has been elected into power is corrupt. They've been put into power by money. And it is so sad that the media controls everything and everyone's asleep. I used to be extremely right wing, obviously, and I've came to the realization when I found out that there is zero evidence and zero scientific proof to support what the government said about 9/11. Not a drop. It's insane.
You said you were in the service.
What's that?
You said you were in the service.
Yes.
Where were you?
Air Force.
And where were you deployed?
Injured and didn't get over there. Thank God, but 8 of my friends are now dead. But now that's proven that was all a scam, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Now they have a TV show on National Geographic that it was all a big conspiracy.
Have you been involved in, there's a present one about service people and GIs against the war in Iraq. Have you contacted them?
Yes, well, there's a lot of movements going on, but the main thing is, it was so crazy, is that the evidence, you have the evidence to hang all these guys for 9/11. I mean, it's so absurd. That's what's so amazing, that they've been able to cover everything up. But the problem is the media, even your station, everything else, they keep on sliding away. And then, well, no, that I mean, it's just, the evidence is crazy.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for calling. We got a lot of people on the line. It means a lot that you call KPFK. The fund drive is starting tomorrow, 818-575. What is the number here? 818-985-5735. And the fund drive is starting tomorrow, so we got to learn that number, 818-985-5735. We got a lot of callers. Who's next? Is it Carlos at Carson? That's a nice alliteration. Hi, Carlos.
Hello. Hi. Well,
we're talking about the Democrat. Tell us about the Democratic Party.
Well, the Democratic Party really showed their true face recently. They were so hawkish against the war in Vietnam. I mean, I'm sorry, the war in Iraq. Just prior to getting elected, and what happened? The moment they got elected, Pelosi made a complete about face, and she said she was going to be diplomatic and find a diplomatic way of negotiating with Bush, and the rest of the Democrats fell right in. And so what does that tell you? They're all controlled by corporate interests. And, of course, corporate interests are the ones that are pushing us to the war in Iraq. So we have to be cognizant that all parties, most candidates at all parties, are controlled by corporate interests.
What do you do, Carlos?
Well, not all, but I...
No. I'm asking you about yourself as a person. I totally agree with what you're saying. I'm just interested. What do you do? What's the work you do? I'm not putting you on the spot. Go ahead.
My professional work, I'm a realtor.
Cool.
I've been involved in, on my own, doing research on politics for 20, 30 years, and I've come to realize that there is something called the New World Order, the common police state, which, of course, is controlled by the corporations, and they buy off most candidates and most parties. There's only one good guy I see out there, and that's Ron Paul from Minnesota, from Texas.
Okay.
He voted against the Patriot Act. He voted against the war in Iraq, and he is running for president.
Okay, let's check him out. Thank you a lot, Carlos. We'll get to some other listeners. Erica in Santa Barbara. How you doing, Erica?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. One thing, people keep talking about the impeachment and so on. It takes 2/3 vote to get impeachment or to pass any law over a veto. Now, there are Democrats in the House who are going, some are pushing to have a law where they can attach the funding for Iraq and so on, keep it in the defense bill. And the only way the Republicans could get money would be if they vote against the defense bill. In other words, there's not going to be any more money. Now, the other thing is, what on earth has anybody on KPFK ever done about this war?
Well,
I haven't heard one word about taking away the money from the corporations. During World War II, we had an excess profits tax.
Erica, thank you. Listen, Erica, there's a lot of people.
I'm going to answer your question.
Okay, listen. I'm going to answer your question. Don't have to defend KPFK, but I will. I love KPFK. I mean, this is one of the places where the very thing that you asked for is being done. It's a station of many different opinions, broad progressive and left opinions, but certainly everybody is in favor of cutting off funds for the war in Iraq, and the debate is whether the tactic of impeachment is the main tactic or whether or not a direct no vote on the war in Iraq and a direct defunding of the war, which I think is more frontal. I think the problem with impeachment is that it's a Democratic beach ball. They don't really think they're going to impeach Bush, but this is back to Bush. And the reason I think it was good today is we're discussing, not to single them out, but the reason we have to discuss Nancy Pelosi, the reason we have to discuss Barack Obama, the reason we have to discuss Hillary Clinton, the reason we have to discuss Antonio Villaraigosa, is we as progressive, independent people cannot be manipulated by the Democratic Party. I am easily manipulated by the Democratic Party. I was very excited the night that they won for a mini second. I certainly wanted a Democratic Congress. And the next day, as one of the listeners said, Nancy Pelosi's first day of diplomatic overture to the Bush administration is pretty disgraceful. On the other hand, there are bills coming up in Congress right now, even this no vote in principle against the war, people talking about coming out in a year and a half. Terrible? Of course it's terrible. But until we have a stronger left, there is some difference in this debate. But today we're focusing on how the Democrats essentially manipulate us. That is the, unfortunately, primary aspect of what we're talking about today. Jack is next.
I really appreciated hearing what you had to say after Ellsberg's speech. And I've been a Democrat all my life since voting for McGovern. And I believe that you're right. I think that we are headed for a fascist police state, and I think these Democrats are bought and paid for, just like the Republicans. But the one ray of light I see that can happen is the fact that there is a growing number of people that believe, like you do, that believe that the government racked down those buildings or had something to do with it. There's like 32, 33% of the people even without any news coverage on it, that believe that from both the left and the right, that are just good Americans. And I think that if that comes to fruition, what you were trying to talk about can come about. That we, you know, I mean, we just have to call the spade a spade. That these people are a bunch of thieves and liars. They don't care about us, and they're selling our whole country out, including guys like Villaraigosa and Pelosi and the rest of them.
Well, let me clarify, as we say, let me clarify. It's very, very good what you said, and let me just clarify something. Here's the dilemma for me. It's not even clarified. Let me continue to amplify a complexity. Every single day on every single vote, I have an opinion. If there's a vote against gang suppression in L.A., if it's done by a Democrat, I am very, very hopeful for that. Jose Huizar stands up and says, I'm against this idea of eradicating, as Rocky Delgadillo said, imagine eradicating gangs. That's calling for essentially the wiping out of human beings. If Barack Obama now says he's for some kind of end to the war in Iraq, it's both pathetic and a crack in the armor until we can get something better. If John Edwards is going to run somewhat better than Bush, this is the dilemma for me. I'm trying to kind of create two realities here. One is for those of you who are Democrats, I'm trying to get you to understand the bankruptcy of the Democratic Party. For those of you who hate the Democratic Party like me, I'm trying to get us to understand there are times we have to work with them and understand the difference in the contradictions there. So there's sort of two messages going on simultaneously here. If our movement was strong enough that we had this third party, we had this tremendous movement, we were getting Democrats out of office, that would be terrific. So both realities. But right now, I'm trying to focus on, which is what most people are saying, is there is a tremendous danger of a U.S. invasion right now of Iran. This dangerous possibility of a nuclear strike. Ellsberg, on the terrific part of his talk, which was the main part of his talk, talked about that the new 20,000 troops that are being sent over are there to assassinate Shia and other militants. This is Eric Mann on KPFK 90.7 FM. I'm going to take a short break. You're listening to Voices from the Front Lines. The boards are all lining up and people are being great. So this is sort of our democratic dilemma. What kind of country do we live in, and what should we do? We'll go to break, and I'll talk to you when we get back.